The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, April 21st through Sunday, April 27th, 2025. The commentary for April was written by Owen Weber Courtney, who serves as Director of Information and Spirituality at St. John's Episcopal Church, Jacksonville, Florida. She is a teacher, lay minister, and sacred ground facilitator. She's also a third-generation Forward Day by Day reader. She lives and works in Florida and North Carolina and cherishes time with her husband, children, and grandchildren. The commentary for Monday, April 21st, begins as follows with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 9b. And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. In tomorrow's Gospel, reading from John, Jesus says to Mary, "Noli me tangere," which she reaches out to touch him. "Do not hold on to me." In artistic depictions of this scene, Mary's agony at Jesus' withdrawal is often visible and wrenching. Yet in Matthew's version today, the disciples hold on to Jesus' feet, which are probably still covered in the blood and wounds of his crucifixion. If we fast forward to the ascension, art depicts those bloody feet as the last sight of Jesus ascending into the clouds. Perhaps those feet were the last part of Jesus' body the disciples touched before he was crucified. There is a posture of worship in the disciples kneeling at his feet, as the author of Matthew says, "As I left my mother's body after she died, the last part of her I touched were her feet." Perhaps that was a gentle well wish for her on her journey. And perhaps it will be the first part of her I touch when we meet again. I hope so. And now I'm going to read the passage from Matthew, the Gospel for this Monday, the Monday in Easter week. It is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 9 through 15. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While they were going, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests everything that had happened. After the priests had assembled with the elders, they devised a plan to give a large sum of money to the soldiers, telling them, "You must say, 'His disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep.' If this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story is still told among the Jews to this day. And the moving forward question for this Monday, April 21st, Monday in Easter week, is, what would you do first if you saw the risen Christ? Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, April 22nd. It begins with a passage from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 36b through 38a. "This Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, 'Brothers, what should we do?' Peter said to them, 'Repent.'" Here's the commentary. A story is told about three soldiers who were the closest of friends and serving in France during World War II. One of them was killed, and his friends wanted to bury his body in a special place, not just in a field. They brought the body to a beautiful French churchyard that had a cemetery. But the priest said the soldier couldn't be buried there because he wasn't Catholic. The two men took the body of their friend and did the next best thing. They buried him in a field just outside the fence of the churchyard. The next day in the morning, they went back to the field to pay their final respects, but couldn't find evidence of a grave outside the fence. They ran to the church to ask the priest about the grave. "I could not sleep last night thinking of your friend and the love you have for him," said the priest. "I tossed and turned until I decided what I had to do. I got up in the night, and I moved the fence." Now I'm going to read the full passage from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 36 through 41. "Therefore let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, 'Brothers, what should we do?' Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him.' And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, 'Save yourselves from this corrupt generation.' So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added." And the moving forward question for this day is, where do you need to move the fence? Now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday in Easter week, Wednesday, April 23rd. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verse 31. "Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him." In yesterday's reading, Peter told the people to repent. Today we see what happens with repentance, opened eyes, and recognition. The Greek word metanoia, from which the word repent comes, means to change one's mind. Some translate it as turn or take another road, but the best translation I have ever heard came from retired Episcopal Bishop Porter Taylor, who said it means to go beyond the mind you have. Whatever your experience of repentance is, have you noticed the freedom that comes with visual and emotional clarity as you turn? Turning away from, turning toward, or going beyond gives us a new vantage point and deeper understanding. And now I'm going to read the full gospel for this Wednesday. It's from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. "Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him, and he said to them, 'What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?' They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?' He asked them, 'What things?' They replied, 'The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told him what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. And the moving forward question for this Wednesday of Easter week is, when have you turned or gone beyond and seen more clearly? The commentary for Thursday, April 24th, begins with a passage also from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verse 36b and 37. Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. Have you ever wondered what Jesus looked like in these post-resurrection gospel stories? Well, in Luke's gospel, it is recorded that the disciples thought they were seeing a ghost. The Hebrew word for ghost is ruach freim. The Greek word for ghost is pneuma. Both words mean breath, life, or spirit. With that context, it's clear that we're not talking about an animated Casper type of ghost, but rather Jesus as spirit, fully present, fully divine. Perhaps practicing resurrection in our daily lives means developing a richer spiritual dimension. Have you ever had the experience of a presence that is not necessarily visible, but fully present? Have you ever felt the comfort of a presence that you cannot explain except to say, "I think I saw a ghost"? May the breath and presence of the living Christ be with you this day and always. And now I'm going to read the full gospel passage for today. It's from Luke chapter 24, verses 36b through 48. Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I, myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And the moving forward statement for this Thursday and Easter week, practice resurrection today. The commentary for Friday and Easter week, Friday, April 25th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verse 12a. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." It is another day in the worst week of their lives. Some of the disciples don't know what else to do but return to their pre-Jesus vocation as fishermen. They have lost hope, and a night of no fish confirms their plight. Then, in the early morning, a voice cries out from the shore, "Haven't you any fish?" When they responded negatively, the same voice suggests they try the other side of the boat. When they do, their nets are filled, and Peter says, "It is the Lord." "Come and have breakfast," Jesus says. Renewed hope requires nourishment. When our nets are empty and hopelessness has settled in for what seems like forever, we cannot do much without being fed. When the disciples feel adrift, Jesus breaks bread with them, a reminder that hope is never lost. Each time we break bread and share in the body of Christ, we too remember the hope of the resurrected Jesus. As American theologian Walter Wink once said, "Hope imagines the future and then acts as if that future is irresistible." And now I'm going to read this full passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 1 through 14. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. And the moving forward statement for this Friday is, like the dead earth of winter that is sprouting, look for places where life and hope are renewed. Now the commentary for Saturday, April 26th, the Saturday in Easter week. It begins with a passage from the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 20. We cannot keep from speaking about what we have seen and heard. In our Acts reading today, Peter and John, though ordinary and uneducated, have been curing people and preaching, and are recognized as companions of Jesus. The council trembles for fear that the word of Jesus might spread. So Peter and John are told to speak no more to anyone in this name. Though the truth will set you free, it can also hurt, and many times we are asked to keep it to ourselves. However, on the Saturday after Easter, it is difficult to suppress the joy of the resurrected Christ. As Psalm 118 proclaims, "On this day the Lord has acted. We will rejoice and be glad in it." We cannot contain our joy that our hope has been renewed, so we shout, "Alleluia," and no one can keep us from speaking. And now I'm going to read this full passage from the book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 13 through 21. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, realized that they were uneducated and ordinary men, they were amazed and recognized them as companions of Jesus. When they saw the man who had been cured standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. So they ordered them to leave the council while they discussed the matter with one another. They said, "What will we do with them? For it is obvious to all who live in Jerusalem that a no table sign has been done through them. We cannot deny it. But to keep it from spreading further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name." So they called them and ordered them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in God's sight to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot keep from speaking about what we have seen and heard." After threatening them again, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people. For all of them praised God for what had happened. And the moving forward question for this Saturday is, when have you spoken out for the truth, and how was that received? Now, as we near the end of this program and the end of this Easter week, let's turn to a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 28. Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." O Thomas, you have been maligned for your doubt for 2,000 years, offered as an example of failure and unfaithfulness. But you were the brave one. You were the one willing to be vulnerable and transparent, willing to risk being truly seen. We are not all truth-tellers like you were. Your ecstatic response when you knew that Jesus stood before you was a kind of resurrection of hope, faith, and possibility. It was an encounter that changed your life and ours by showing us that our journeys also run on a continuum between doubt and faith, skepticism and belief. As we journey through Easter, I pray we might be reshaped by your experience and practice witnessing resurrections and all the possibilities Easter holds for us. May we go out this day to share the message of the risen Christ with your enthusiasm, with the words, "My Lord and my God," on the tips of our tongues, and may doubt become a necessary approach to full understanding. And now I'm going to read the full gospel from John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came, so the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." And the moving forward question for this Sunday, the second Sunday of Easter, is where do you doubt and confess to it? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our hearts' longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.